Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Those five letters stand for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Steve Del Bianco is our guest and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust and the Vice President of the Association for Competitive Technology. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. It's great to be here. I wish we had better news and better things to talk about, except for, virus attacks this week.
Well, I understand, but I really am grateful that you're available to talk to us about this, because this is really important. You know, some of the important stuff we talk about, Steve, is about taking advantage of opportunities, and sometimes we have to talk about threats, and this virus situation is certainly a threat. There's hardly any opportunity in here unless you're Norton or McAfee, but for most of us, this virus thing that's going on right now is certainly a threat, isn't it?
Absolutely. And cybersecurity, the general term for protecting your computers against threats,
right,
is really become topic number one here in Washington. And we talk about it probably 2 to 3 times a week. There's a conference, hearing, or a discussion panel that brings up cybersecurity and cyber terrorism, a closely related cousin of cybersecurity.
Absolutely. Let's get specific to start with, Steve, and talk about this MyDoom virus. That's the name that it typically is seen. There was also one just before this one called, was it Barger or Badger or
Bagel?
Bagel. That's
Bagel.
What it was. Bagel. Yeah, I couldn't
Bagel
remember.
And also MI Mail. So,
yeah.
But I mean, this morning, I mean, to talk about what happened this week, was you really need to look ahead and say that on Super Bowl Sunday, 2 days from now, approximately 500,000 computers around the world will unleash a whole bunch of hits, several a second, at SEO's website, and then with the MyDoom B virus, Microsoft's website.
Huh.
And the whole point of that is to barrage these websites with a whole lot of hits, causing those websites to slow down, and generally slowing the Internet down. Estimates believe somewhere between 10 and 15% slowdown in Internet traffic on Super Bowl Sunday, February 1st, as these attacks start.
Hmm.
Where are these attacks coming from? They're coming from a virus that got planted on approximately 500,000 computers so far. And that virus is known as, what you said earlier, the MyDoom virus. So its whole point is to do a malicious attack on two specific websites,
huh,
to be a nuisance on those two companies. And it literally uses computers like yours and mine to do the attack. And the way it does that is by distributing via email to computers. And if, we should discuss the way in which,
right,
computer users are vulnerable to opening up that attachment, but what we're talking about is a Super Bowl Sunday denial of service attack on Microsoft and SEO.
Hmm. Now, I didn't know about the Super Bowl thing, which is very interesting. But let's quickly get into what happens. The email comes in, and for whatever reason, we'll identify what the different looks are in a minute. But for whatever reason, you open up an attachment, you click on an attachment, and then follow through on whatever the other instructions are from an attachment that didn't come from, it may have actually come from somebody you know, actually, although only one that I've seen actually came from anybody that I knew, and you open it, and it actually launches the virus in your computer and has its way with your computer, doesn't it?
It does, and you'll hardly know the difference unless you happen to be up at midnight on February the 1st, you'd notice your computer router light was flashing,
right,
because every second it would be trying to hit these websites.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mean, if the folks who write these viruses, they had a mission in mind, which was to disrupt Microsoft and SEO, that's their mission. And I want to mess with you and me.
Tell us who SEO is.
SEO is about a 400-person company. It's relatively a small firm. They're a Unix development company, and they have an operating system, as well as a whole set of utilities, library of utilities that work with Unix and with Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And they're currently the target of a lot of the open source and Linux community because they have sued companies who they think have misappropriated their software and been redistributing it under their own licenses.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they've sued some folks in the open source and free software movement makes them the target of a lot of these relatively vindictive folks in the open source movement who feel like the right way
to
respond to that lawsuit.
Are you saying there's a chance that the MyDoom virus has been created by otherwise legitimate organization?
Not an organization. I would characterize the open source movement as having a lot of proponents who are just individual programmers.
A free agent.
In fact, there's a line of text in the MyDoom virus that says, quote, "I'm just doing my job, nothing personal, sorry."
Yeah.
So it's that kind of, I mean, it's an individual, not an organization.
I see what you mean. This is news to me. I did not know this.
That's the reason we have
Steve on the show. He always keeps us informed of these things.
And then over the last 2 days, a variant of MyDoom called MyDoom B, which instead of launching its attack just at SCO, decides to go after Microsoft as well. So it attacks both SCO and Microsoft at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that prompted Microsoft yesterday to announce it would offer $250,000 bounty for anyone to help identify. And the wire services this morning are speculating that it's Russian origin, someone in Moscow that's the originator. But who knows? That's just a rumor.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the point is that the people that wrote this, the playful little message betrays that an individual with a devious or malicious intent is going to try to fool you and me to open an email.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they'll fool us is to come up with lots of interesting subject lines and maybe even masking or disguising who the email is sent from.
That's
all
exactly
of it is
right.
Designed to fool you and me into opening the email. That's how it infects you and me, and that's how it spreads to thousands of other people. So let's just be on our guard, and we can discuss the specific things to watch for.
First, folks, don't open any attachments. Even if it comes from somebody you know, that's how it gets to you typically. But although in this particular case, not so much. I've gotten, I don't know how many of these things, I guess hundreds like everybody else, and only one of them was from anybody. In fact, Steve, we went back to even look to see if it was from anybody who we send our newsletter to. And these aren't even coming from our newsletter list. The ones we're getting, most of them, almost all but one, are from people we've never heard of. We don't know who they are.
Right, but Jim, don't be surprised about that, because harvesting of emails is the best way to put together
exactly
a list. For this
that
email to get started.
That was
for
the
this
point
email
that I wanted to
started,
ask you about. Uh-huh.
Right. To get things started, the guy who put this together had to say, well, let me kick this off. And all they had to do was to go buy a list, download a list from the Internet, which is typically one that was harvested. Harvesting is the practice of having a computer visit every website on the Internet and look for at symbols, which typically indicate an email address.
And all of mine are coming to my oldest email address, which you won't be surprised at that either. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk to you about how to make... What does it actually take to get this on your computer? What do you have to do, and how do you avoid doing that? Right after these messages, 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Steve Del Bianco with the Association for Competitive Technology. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Steve Del Bianco with the Association for Competitive Technology. Tell us what ACT is all about.
Jim, ACT, a trade association of IT professionals and small businesses that are engaged in information technology. Our website is www.actonline.org. And what we're all about is keeping folks informed, engaged, and mobilized to make sure that what happens here in Washington helps and doesn't hurt the small business environment.
Mm-hmm. And they do it well, too, folks. And give us your website, Steve.
Yeah, it's www.actonline.org.
Lots of good stuff there. And can they get the techie report there?
Exactly. And we're publishing a new one on Monday. The techie is the Tech Environmental Quality Index, where we try to size up every 3 months what Washington is doing to make the tech environment, where we try to create jobs and build our businesses to make it better or worse.
And I want to get you back on the show in a week or two to talk about techie, but I asked Steve to join us today, folks, in a little bit of an emergency visit so we could talk about this virus thing. Steve, this virus is a virus coming in through email as opposed to the worm that came in last summer, which came in over the Internet rather than through email.
That's correct, and it didn't require you to open or read emails to become infected. It only required us to be unprotected with respect to a couple of ports in our operating system.
Which is specifically, you know, having a firewall to prevent that from coming in. Steve, now, here's the simple question. If I, regardless of how many of these things I get in, these viruses that come into my inbox, And regardless of what they look like, and regardless of whether it's a TX, .zip or a .exe or .scr or whatever the suffix is, regardless, if I don't click on that and open that attachment, I won't get infected, right?
That's right. That's right. This particular strain of viruses requires a user to take the action of opening the email and clicking on the attachment. And at that point, it's relatively innocuous. It sort of quickly sends itself to a random selection of the people in your contact list, deposits itself in your Kazaa directory, if you've got that on your machine, and sets itself up for the February 1st denial of service attack. You wouldn't know that you even had it at that point, other than a bunch of outgoing mail in your sent box.
So the real damage hasn't really even been done yet, has it?
That's correct.
That's what you're
saying.
Right
now, all it is increasing a little bit of traffic on the web. It makes it feel like we have a little more spam than usual. But as I said, come Super Bowl Sunday, for the 12-day period starting February 1st, this virus is designed every second to ping the websites of Microsoft and SCO.
From these different zombie locations.
That's right. And who knows? It may not stop there. I mean, this virus, once it's on your machine, could make you vulnerable to other commands that would come from the virus authors.
Right.
They know how to get into the back door that's been open. Mm. There's probably 4 million, current estimates, about 4 million emails circulating on the Internet that contain the virus. And approximately 500,000 people, the estimate is, 500,000 folks worldwide, have inadvertently clicked on the executable and made themselves infected. That's those 500,000 machines.
It's hard to believe at this day and time people don't know this, but I guess it's not hard to believe as many people are online, all the new people online, they just haven't heard.
And don't forget, too, that many folks have thought that the rule was don't open attachments unless it's from someone you know.
Right.
But that's not an appropriate rule.
Right.
Because after all, if someone you know is infected, well, they're the ones who are sending you the email.
Is this
so? Naturally, it would come from people you know, since your name is in their contact list.
Is this affecting? This is affecting mostly PC users. Apple users, Mac users aren't really affected, are they?
This one is only affecting Microsoft Windows users.
Windows users. What about if they don't? What about if they're not using Outlook?
No, they have to be using Outlook.
So they have to be using Outlook. For example, I use Eudora exclusively.
No, I would take that back. If you're using Eudora and you get an email with an attachment, it's definitely going to infect you.
Yes, exactly. Because I'm using the Windows operating system. Okay,
it is.
You had a metaphor you were going to give us.
Jim, it's really an idea that folks listening to the show and wanting to protect themselves might be looking for some single solution, some silver bullet that'll make them safe. And, you know, the bad news is there is no silver bullet, which you knew I was going to say. It's actually a multi-layered approach, and I want you to think of security as a stack of many layers of protection from vulnerabilities. And at the top of the stack, the most important layer is called your behavior. Your behavior and your habits. You've been talking about it for the entire show, mm-hmm. the habit of don't open executables, don't launch executables attached to an email. Don't even read emails that are mm-hmm. from people that you know. That's behavior. Another aspect of behavior, make sure that you download patches for your operating system when they're available.
Right.
And make sure that
the,
you...
The antivirus software he's talking about, like Norton or McAfee.
Exactly. Patches for your operating system and right. updates to your Norton, McAfee, right. Symantec antivirus software.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about user habits. The next layer in the stack is make sure that you are running an antivirus software on your computer. The next layer down is the operating system. Below that is hardware. Then your networking hardware, your routers. Anybody who was running a router back in August was not vulnerable at all to the blaster worm that was infecting most of the world, because mm-hmm. the router itself could stop the open port.
That was a mechanical firewall.
That's right. And then the very bottom layer would be the transport layer in your networking services. Some ISPs, for instance, some email services, automatically strip attachments off of email.
Mm-hmm.
That would be another layer. So it's a multi-layered stack. At any point of that stack, you're going to have certain defenses that will work against certain threats.
Steve, that's the best example, the best explanation for how to protect yourself that I've ever heard. Maybe it's probably the best ever, and I appreciate it, and I expect nothing less from you. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Steve. See you later. Appreciate your help. Quick break. Right back with Chuck Cadlick. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.